I want to talk to you, obviously, about the book, The Doors Unhinged, Jim Morrison's Legacy Goes on Trial. Why did you feel the need to write this book, John?
I reluctantly entered into a legal battle at Jim's estate, and I had to stop our bandmates from using the name. You know, I mean, the Stones without Mick, that doesn't work. Police without Sting, Doors without Jim. And so when I initiated this struggle, some hardcore fans were kind of, whoa, he's ruining the band. He's ruining the band we love. Well, you know, if you read this book, hopefully you get to realize that I'm trying to save the band you love, save the legacy of what Jim wanted and what we represented.
I read the whole account in about two sittings, right? And I'm very glad that you did write it, because I am also a fan. And I saw Ray and Robbie play together in recent years under that banner, Doors of the 21st Century and all that kind of thing. And I never got to see the Doors with Jim Morrison. And I was thankful to see Ray and Robbie do it. And,
and
then I was kind of going, is John Densmore trying to stop this happening or what? But of course not.
No, no. It's all in this book. Anyone can play anyone's songs live. That's not, policeable.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't trying to stop the music. I was just trying to stop the misrepresentation of the name of the band.
Of the brand and the band, yeah.
Of the brand.
But why do you think it was so tough and costly to get the other two to see what really is a very simple argument now?
Oh, hindsight is easy, isn't it?
I guess.
They were seduced by, limos and big auditoriums. So that's why they did it.
I've read the book. You wrote the book. But for somebody who's hearing us talk now, can you run some of those numbers that we were talking about, that you were talking about in the book?
Serious amounts of money, like big groups get, like $100K or whatever the hell.
A night.
A night. Yeah.
Right.
That's gross. There's expenses, but I write in this book that if you're a new band, and it's so difficult now, you might want to do commercials with your songs to pay the rent. I get that. You know.
There was one.
In our situation, it's different. We did really well, and Jim hated Come On, Buick, Light My Fire.
Mm. There was.
He said, yeah, that's good. We'll smash the car on television with a sledgehammer. Oh, okay. I guess he means no.
No, then. That's a sarcastic no. But there wasn't there, like a multi-million dollar offer on the table at one stage? And even you were kind of going, oh, God, really? Can I turn down this amount of money? Was that another car company?
Yeah, Cadillac. I became Mr. Vito. That was Jim's idea, veto power. And they kept doubling and tripling, and yeah, $15 million. Jim said we should split all the money and all the writing credits because he didn't know how to write songs. And so
Is that what you mean? Or play songs? He didn't know how to play songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, okay. He didn't play an instrument. Yeah,
not
yeah.
So, everyone in the band has a nice house and a couple groovy cars like me. They're doing fine. So that's why I thought, let's try and stay with his vision.
Mm. Yeah. It's a very interesting battle using songs to sell stuff, be it, cars or jeans or whatever it is. Is it right, though? Is an artist entitled to sell a tune that means so much to me as a listener? Or why is there such a divide, do you think, between artists who do write stuff and sell it off and kind of go, it's fine, it's my work, I'll do whatever I want with it, or there's you who's on the other side going, no, we said we wouldn't do that and that's what we'll do?
Well, I think you should ask Pete Townsend.
It's a great example.
I mean,
I've just hung up the phone with his brother.
Stone.
I've just hung up the phone with his brother this very second.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, you know, he says, I don't give an F if you fell in love with Shirley to my song. I'll do what I want with it.
Yeah.
And he's right. He's right. I mean, I'm trying. Jim was, and I am a little more sensitive to, well, if you fell in love with Shirley and it was sort of, the music was the soundtrack to your early life and you cherished that, I don't want to mess with that. And we've got enough dough. So that's my opinion. And think about Tom Waits, who says, well, you know, okay, say you decide to pay the rent and you're a new band, but then you get going. You get successful. Well, maybe re-examine the idea that Tom says of changing your lyrics into a jingle. I mean, you are going to distort your lyrics a little bit by saying, hey, without this car, you're not going to be happy. I know it's a bargain, but that's the Who song, Bargain.
Yeah, yeah.
They use for Nissan. So you're messing with the meaning.
And that changes everything. Right, 100%.
No. Well, in my opinion. I mean, Townsend says, oh, the meaning's arrived. So what? So whatever.
Can I ask you, John, in recent years, with everything that's gone on, and you talked about it, you mentioned this, the greed gene. Did you like Ray Manzarek in recent years?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. My relationship the last several years with Ray had become rather strained due to this litigation. And, you know, then our inner circle heard that he had cancer. And I had sent the last chapter of the book to Ray and Robbie before it was published with a note saying, I want to make sure you get to this. The first part will be a hard pill. But this is where I talk about how I love you guys and we're musical brothers. You know, how could I not? We created magic in a garage. And then I heard that Ray was getting sicker, and I gave him a call. And we had, thank God, we had a closing, loving conversation. I mean, I didn't know it was
the last. Yeah.
Although, gee, I had the last one with Jim, too.
That's right. He rang you from Paris, right?
Yeah. So I told Ray that I was, you know, thinking of him and praying and drumming for his health. And he said he was going to Germany for alternative. And I said I knew that that was the cutting edge for that. And he sounded weak but hopeful. And I sent my love to his wife. And then he died a few weeks later. So.
Yeah. No, not good. And I remember saying at the time that to me, again, as a fan, he was not just a keyboard player. He was the keys to the Doors, because it was that lovely. You all brought, you know, a quarter each, but it was such a unique sound, so unique,
and
wonderful.
I'm gonna have to correct you. If there's a key to the Doors, it's Jim. That's why Shepard Fairey, who did the cover, put a key in Jim's hand. Old PR poster, and he put a key in Jim's hand.
Right.
I thought, oh, my God. In one visual, he's captured the whole book, that the key to the Doors' legacy is Jim.
Yeah.
But let me say about Ray's left hand, that was the bass player.
Yep.
We had no bass. And so bass players and drummers are brothers.
Yeah.
And thank God Ray and I felt music the same. We were so connected musically. It was just fantastic.
John, you're all over the place doing book signings. When are you going to come this way?
Next spring. I need to go to Europe and sign and read this book.
Okay.
So I hope to God, Dublin would be great.